Welcome to the Wrestleverse Podcast. Yes, another wrestling podcast. Don't fret, though. I'm not one of those know-it-all wrestling news guys who pulls dates and times out of their ass. I can barely speak half the time. Case in point, butchering Matt Taven's name in this episode. In the sport of professional wrestling, the hardest thing to do, besides draw money as a podcaster, is stand out from your peers. Veteran of the sport, Thomas Retro Grappler Santel did just that as he reinvented his career on Beyond Wrestling's weekly streaming show, Uncharted Territory. Santel dominated the Undiscovered Gauntlet and parlayed that into a huge match at Beyond's American Rana 19. Santel, a traveled road warrior who has spent time with the WWE, TNA, and Ring of Honor, is on the cusp of indie stardom if he's not there already. I had the opportunity to chat with him this afternoon. I first heard of you from Beyond Wrestling. That's where I learned about you. I didn't realize that you'd worked in the WWE. So that was...
Yeah. Perfect. That was the intended... I've been around since 2001.
Yeah,
and
I was quite shocked by that.
And that was the whole point of reinventing myself, was sure. To kind of... figure out, especially the new audiences. It's like, hey, who is this guy? I never heard of this guy. This guy's been around for however. Oh, that's Antonio Thomas from the Heartthrobs and mostly from the Northeast Independent.
Right.
He changed his look, changed his name.
He is totally different.
Yeah. And that was the purpose. And Beyond Wrestling, I'd been doing the character for about 2 years, and it felt right. It was the first thing that ever felt really perfect for me in wrestling. Like, this fits. It fits like a glove.
So I
wanted to get it, to where places where of substance that could get eyes on it, Beyond gave me that opportunity, and the rest, it's taken off.
Where does the concept of the character come from?
I was doing a show in Glens Falls, New York, about 3 years ago.
Okay.
And because of my resemblance to Crispin Glover, and the way my hair was styled, parted to the side, fans were chanting Back to the Future,
right,
different things from Back to the Future and George McFly and all this stuff.
Okay.
So a couple of the guys in the back were big Back to the Future fans, and they were commenting on it and saying, hey, you should kind of go with it and do a character. And then I told my best friend, who is a huge, huge movie aficionado, and he's like, absolutely. He goes, you need to quit trying to be, you're a great wrestler and whatnot, but quit just trying to be yourself and have some fun with it. And I did, and it just really has worked perfectly so far.
Well, you definitely caught the hearts out of a lot of people on that program. Now let's.
So you watched Uncharted Territory every week?
Yep. Okay. I hadn't watched Beyond Wrestling that much. I'm kind of new to the independent wrestling. It's a lot easier to catch it now with streaming platforms like Indie Wrestling TV and YouTube as well. So I've been focusing a lot more on the independent scene the last year or so. When Uncharted Territory started, I watched that weekly. And you were definitely one of the highlights. You and Chris Statlander, for me, were pretty much like the MVPs of that show.
Well, thank you, man. So let me ask you this.
Okay.
What was it about me that stood out to you,
what attracted me to your character?
What attracted me you to my character, and what had that? What was that connection there?
I think it was. It's weird because your character on Beyond is so totally different from everybody else's character, yet it's very familiar. There's still a familiarity to it.
And
also, you're not loud. And like Jake Roberts has always said, I had to listen, you know, I had to watch to really get what your character was.
Good.
Because you said a lot of things without really saying them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. No, I like that because my goal is to stand out from everybody else, whether what I do in the ring, obviously with the look and the persona and just kind of little subtleties there that people can pick up on here and there. You know, stuff taken from almost from an acting standpoint where you incorporate little subtleties here or there. And, yeah, I try to make my matches different. Everybody does, you know, sit-out power bombs or variations and enziguris and apron bumps and all. I wrestle, and I try to make my matches, especially as a singles, stand out from the others.
Would you say it's fair to say that you're an old-school wrestler with a new-school mentality in the entertaining of the business? Like, you kind of have a little bit of comedy wrestling in
you. Yeah, it's a relatable character, I think.
Sure. It's not, you know, goofy. It's not goofy comedy. It's
no, once the bell rings, it's on. And I've always done the character as a heel. And I started my first week in Beyond, I was a heel. And the fans, I could tell within 5 minutes they were warming up to me.
Right.
And, you know, I cut a promo afterwards trying to decree them, you know, for drinking beer and alcohol because it took place in a bar. And, you know, I said, I would never put that poison in my body. I only drink Ovaltine. And then it blew up from there.
That's just the craziness of the fan of like the 2019s. The heel is actually not the heel anymore. The heel is the face. I think it's like the CM Punk type thing, you know? It's cool to be the bad guy, I guess is what you'd say.
Yeah, but you know what? I always thought that as well, but this is really, and I'm very self-deprecating, but this is a really likable and relatable character.
Definitely.
It's a nerd who's stuck in a, he's acknowledges social media and stuff that's going on, but he's stuck in a time warp. And, he's a seasoned wrestler and grappler. And, when he gets bullied around in the ring, when it's time to go, he fights back. And I think the fans can get behind that. And, it's just a character you want to like. And, it's so much fun to be able to have it grow and evolve and you know, see where I can take it.
Absolutely. Let's rewind a little bit. You were born in Massachusetts, so I'm assuming, you said you're a sports fan. I'm assuming you're a Red Sox fan?
Yeah. Huge sports fan. Yeah, I'm a Red Sox fan, although they've been completely spoiled for the last 14 years, as most Boston sports fans have. So now I got to say I'm more of a baseball fan. I don't not like the Red Sox, but it's become less special than it was before 2004, especially when I was a kid, like in the 90s, the 80s, late 80s, when they had some really bad teams, and even when they got to the playoffs, they were always getting swept by Oakland, or Cleveland in 95, so it was very, very frustrating. So I think fans have lost that true love of baseball that
it's almost become too easy for them.
Yeah, the diehard Red Sox fans, you know who they are. The pink hats. The pink hats are just kind of, you know, they want to go to Fenway Park and drink and go, oh, and Big Poppy up and, you know.
Right.
So enough said.
Okay.
I'm a huge sports fan. Yeah.
I'm a little upset with your Red Sox because they took half my team on the Tigers and won a World Series with them when we couldn't. So we got some bad blood there. You got JD Martinez and who else did you get?
Well, we got Porcello.
Porcello, yeah.
For Cespedes, and then God, who else did they get?
We took our GM too.
We took Dombrowski. That's right.
Yeah, now we're stuck with Avila.
Well, you guys got rid of everybody.
Yeah,
you know?
But it still hurt a little bit to watch them celebrate.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, and then our old GM, Theo Epstein,
yep.
Castellanos from you.
Yep.
You still have Matt Boyd. Matt Boyd just eclipsed 200 strikeouts for the year.
Yeah,
so.
And he's having a very good season. Only reason he's still with us is we still have him for 2 years under a contract. So
yeah, you got Jacoby Jones.
Yeah, yeah. We also got Cabrera. You want Cabrera? We'll give him to you for a couple million. Take his contract.
You can pay the $20 million on
all right.
that.
So when did you fall in love with wrestling? Assuming you did fall in love with it.
Yeah, like I don't know. I was 8 years old, and you know, just Hulk Hogan and the cartoons and all the action figures and that stuff. and you know,
Is it something that you watch with your family, your parents, your dad, or anything?
I used to like kind of try to hide it for that. I liked wrestling from like my family, but my older cousins that always watch wrestling, and I remember, you know, them having wrestling on and me not really taking an interest in it. But then when it became, you know, in the mid '80s, when it became, you know, kind of the action figures and the bigger than life cartoon heroes that were in the WWF, I started to really fall in love with it. And then that led me to, you know, oh wow, what's this NWA stuff that's on? And then I got into that. And then, so I started going, you know, reading the wrestling magazines and like, wait a minute, there's the stuff other than WWF. I was like, who's this Ric Flair guy? Who's this Dusty Rhodes guy? AWA was on ESPN, so right away. So it just opened up a whole, you know, deep dive for me of just kind of just immersing myself and loving wrestling. But, yeah, I used to go with my dad when he was around to the Springfield Civic Center pretty much every month. So.
And then when did it dawn on you that you'd want to do this as a career?
Probably high school because, I don't know. I always wanted to be, you know, a major league GM, a sports broadcaster or a wrestler. And the more, I don't know, there wasn't, you know, you had schools like UMass and Miami back in the 90s that had sports management. The community college I went to had sports management. I got my degree, 2-year degree in that, but it was, we didn't talk about sports. It was just like, you know, it wasn't what it later became. So I was just, the more I physically grew and developed and got into lifting, and I said, why not me? I was never really a team sports guy. I've always played sports, but I was always more, I liked having everything be heaped upon me, controlling my own destiny in a way. So I was like, you know, I was probably 17 or 18. I said, yeah, you know, I'm going to do this. And, you know, I had to finish college first because my mom was a teacher and, you know, she made sure that I at least had that degree before I, you know, went out on my own and did anything in the real world, I guess.
Yeah, I get that. And then you debuted in 2001. Do you remember your first match?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was horrible. It was September 15th, 2001. I started training in January of 2001 at Killer Kowalski's.
Okay.
And eventually made my way to a place closer here to the Springfield area. And, I was a 6-man tag. Sasha Banks' husband was in it, as well as Smart Mark Sterling, who is now who also reinvented himself, because they were two of the, and it was their first match as well. They were the two of the guys that were training with me early on. And it was absolutely horrible, but it was up to that point, it was the best night of my life. I was hooked.
And I'm always amazed by how wrestlers can remember like certain matches and certain moments in matches. It's crazy to me because I can't remember yesterday half the time. Do you remember your first singles match?
Oh, yeah, I think it was up in New Hampshire for a show Brutal Bob Evans ran on a Saturday night. There was probably like seven people in the crowd. I think it was against this kid, Reed Davenport. I know that was the match. That definitely took place. My first single, I'm pretty sure that was my first singles, because after that first six-man tag, my first match, then I would do some other stuff for Green Mountain Wrestling, which did like quote-unquote TV tapings.
Okay.
Up in New Hampshire. But it was mostly like some tag stuff, but yeah, pretty sure that's a good question.
Well, I was doing some research, and on Cage Match, I don't know how valid they are half the time, but they have you listed as your first singles matches against Maverick Wild.
No.
Okay, so they're wrong.
Wait, where was that? Was
New England Championship Wrestling?
No. That was that. That match was August like 4th, 2002.
Okay.
I remember that match very well, but no, that was not my first singles. I had a lot of singles matches at that point. I was almost a year in doing matches. I'd probably say about 75, 80 matches to that point.
So they're missing a big chunk of time there for you.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah.
Let's see here. And then I have, when I was doing research, something that popped up at me really weirdly was in 2003, it says you were working for a promotion called WFA.
Yeah.
And it was, you were training with a guy named Rick Harrison. Is that right?
No, I was 2004, I was working for WFA, which is run by Steve Bradley, who's a former WWF developmental talent.
Okay.
Guy that helped train Kurt Angle, was Kurt Angle's roommate in Puerto Rico. He got released in 2002, came back here, ran a really cutting edge promotion with, the setup of the entryway and the video screens and the really kind of state of the art websites and promos online and almost kind of tapping into social media and stuff.
Okay, so he was an early adopter of that kind of stuff.
Yes. Okay. And I was his champion for the better part of a year up until I got signed by WWE. So I would go every week in addition to my training here. I would go there. Once in a while I would go to New England Pro Wrestling Academy, which later on went on to spawn Kofi Kingston, Tommaso Ciampa, Sasha Banks. But yeah, that was Rip. I think you mean Rip Morrison. Rip Morrison is a friend of mine from used to live up in New Hampshire that would did some shows with, and he's a good guy. That he was, him and a guy by the name of Jeff Costa were running shows in conjunction with the aforementioned Maverick Wild, pretty much up in the New Hampshire area.
Okay, so someone's having fun, a little bit of fun with your Wikipedia, I think, because when I seen Rick Harrison is the owner of Pawn Stars, and I was like, I never heard that he was Rick Harrison.
Oh, yeah, someone said I was trained by Stephen the Turtle Weiner. That was not the case either. So that whole thing is Wikipedia. I'm not one of those people that will go into my own Wikipedia page and change it, so... someone listening wants to change it,
I just thought it was kind of funny, so I thought I'd bring it. I didn't think there was any validity to it as well, but I thought it'd be funny to bring it up. Okay, so in 2005, 2006, you signed with WWE. You go down to OVW first, and you train...
2004. So I'm down in OVW with Lance Storm.
Lance Storm.
For the most part,
Jim Cornette's running.
Oh, yeah, Jim Cornette's running. Jim Cornette... Our tag team was a creation of Jim Cornette, so we were kind of his baby. That's what he envisioned for us, and whatever it was. But yeah, Jim got. You know, I don't agree with everything Jim Cornette says, but I love him.
That was my next question. I was going to ask you, what are your thoughts on current day Cornette, and do you think that he'd approve of your current persona?
Yeah. Oh, I think he would love it. I think he would, because it's the kind of the things we said. It's appealing, it's different, and but when the bell rings, it's serious. It's not, you know, it doesn't involve any of the things that he, it's competitive, you know, competition once the bell rings. And I enjoy, I don't agree with what he said. I think Joey Janela is a fantastic worker, and amazing, I've seen him firsthand, and you know, so I don't agree with stuff like that, but you know, that's part of his business as well. And but Jimmy's great. Jimmy, the stuff I learned from him, that's a learning under him, having him, you know, put together some of our matches and especially our finishing sequences. That's a PhD in wrestling, especially when you're only 2 or 3 years in. And I would love to, you know, get a chance to work with him again, and who knows, maybe that will happen.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I messaged the NWA's guy, Lagana, and I told him, I said, I want you to hire Santel, and I want him to be the new face of the Varsity Club. That's what I want.
And did you get a response?
Not on that one.
But well, I know Dave from back in WWE when we were there. So I don't know if he's a fan. Honestly, I never had a problem with him. I don't know if he's a fan of. I don't think he was a fan of the Heartthrobs. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but
He's a hard guy to gauge sometimes.
Yeah, if he's, we've always been cordial and whatnot. The issue we got fired over, he wasn't too happy about, and I don't blame him for that.
Do you want to talk about that or no?
Nah, it's in the past. I don't. Okay. It's right. brought me to where we are today. You know.
Sure. Yeah. So. Absolutely. Okay, you said you don't have a lot of time, so I want to do one thing. You've in your career, you've wrestled a who's who of wrestling personalities, and I just kind of wanted to list some of them and kind of get your thoughts on them.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's start off with Nick Gage. You wrestled with him with Beyond, some of the best matches of the series. Or actually, it was at Americana that you tagged them. What was that like?
It was just kind of an organic thing that grew. We passed each other by. He was leaving the ring. I was going to the ring, and fans picked up on it, and it grew from there. And we've tagged about five times. We were teaming at Beyond's next show on September 22nd. It's called All Hands on Deck. It's going to be right on the beach. We're complete opposites.
Exactly.
He's Nick Gage, and you know, I'm a nerd from the 50s. And but it works. We get, when it comes down to when the bell rings, we bring it, and we compliment each other. And you know, I like singles. I like doing singles. I don't want to be exclusively a tag guy again.
Yeah,
but
I get that for sure. Yeah.
I do. I really was at my all-time creative high during the Discovery Gauntlet, and I really want to get back to that, but I also want to, you know, there's not a lot of tag teams out there, so if there's something that, opportunities that come up as a tag team, absolutely, but singles and tags, we want to do both.
Yeah, absolutely. How about Scott Steiner?
Oh man, he was awesome to work with. People were texting me and tweeting me saying, you know, he's unpredictable and he's gonna, you know, do all this. Like, no, he's a
professional.
So light and so easy. We worked together a Friday and a Saturday night. At the Saturday night, he changed around something at the beginning that actually accentuated my character.
Okay, cool.
But then we really didn't even talk. We just, you know, it was awesome. And it was the second night when I'm in the ring and his music is playing, I'm like just smiling because I'm like 1999 me is like would be freaking out now that this is happening.
But that still kind of works out with your character, though.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah.
That's awesome. Matt Tavern, current Ring of Honor champion.
Oh, Matt Taven, yeah.
Taven,
he's great. He's phenomenal. Smooth. I haven't worked with him probably 5 or 6 years, but we had a match in Ring of Honor together as a four-way. And then I want to say we had a match back in like 2010, 2011. Super cool guy. I just had him on my show a couple weeks ago talking some NBA and some Celtics. And a guy that I've known, God, since, you know, probably his first year or so in the business.
Okay. How about Samoa Joe?
Oh, man, yeah, that was one of my favorite matches. I worked Triple Threat with Samoa Joe and Slick Wagner Brown, who's, you know, one of my closest friends. That was about 2009, I think.
Yeah,
and
it was 2009. I figured that was right around the peak of Samoa Joe.
Yeah, yeah, he was in TNA, and man, I remember I was so nervous going into it, but I'd met him before, but never at length, and he's the nicest guy. He was so light, so smooth, didn't touch me. Just fucking awesome. He's great. He's one of the best. Like, you know, I would love to see him, you know, give him one of the titles in WWE and just let him go. He's awesome at promos. He's awesome in the ring. He's in my top five easily.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And then how about Brian Danielson?
Oh yeah, that was for 2CW as well. That was the end of 2007. That was a four way. He was still in Ring of Honor, American Dragon. The most calm, lightest workers I've ever been in the ring with. I remember took me over in a headlock takeover and was reiterating a spot to me, was just so calm and relaxed, and you know, just phenomenal. One of the best workers I've ever been in the ring with.
Is that a common theme with the real good workers? They're just calm, steady.
Yeah, they're. You know, you don't have to think. You know, I so many matches I will, you know, I like to call things, and I will take it upon myself to, you know, sell this, crawl here, do this, go to the, you know, don't bump, move. You're constantly communicating with your opponent, and it gets mentally draining. You get back after a match, and it's like, oh my God, I feel, you know, because you're, I don't want to say you're carrying somebody, but a lot physically and mentally goes into it. But when you're in there, Just Incredible is like that. I just, like, I didn't have to call a thing. And when I did, he was like, okay, cool. Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do that.
And it was, and that's how the great ones are. It's like, you either, you'll call something and they're like, hell yeah, let's do it. And, or you don't have to call anything at all. And you don't come out beaten up, and, you have a kick-ass match, and you don't get your teeth knocked out or your plastic surgery afterwards.
One last name, William Regal.
Oh man, I learned so much. I wish I could have gotten to work with him later on in my career, because I was so green at the time and so almost timid. We were, when we first got called up to WWE, we just didn't want to rock the boat and just wanted to, you're on Raw and you're live. You don't want to, I don't want to say you didn't want to take chances, but you kind of didn't want to fuck up,
right?
You know?
Yeah.
And so you kind of would play it safe. And he, you know, we had my first singles match on the Raw roster was with William Regal. It was a 12-minute, 2-segment main event match on Sunday Night Heat. And I remember him saying, he goes, listen, you're on the roster now. I want you, we're going to come back and meet in an hour, come up with some ideas. We'll figure this out. And we called our cutoff where we stopped him. And then we called our finish, and everything else was called in the ring. And him and Tajiri were so giving, and I wish we could go back, could have gone back and worked with them later in our careers when we would have, you know,
been more comfortable.
When they ask you, hey, do you have any ideas? And you're like, yeah, we got a whole bunch of ideas. And it was like, just a year, 2 years later, when we went to TNA and we worked with the Outlaws, it was on a pay-per-view. They're like, hey, we don't know if you guys have any ideas. And we're like, yeah, actually, we have a lot of ideas. And so they're like, oh.
That experience helped then.
Yeah, yeah. And it was just a matter of, and that's just in a year, and being on the Raw roster, you know, quickly we were, you learn quick. And, you know, sometimes, for you know, first impressions are what people remember, so you can't get a second chance to make those. But yeah, he was awesome, and just everything you hear, he's, you know, he brought it, he laid it in stiff places, but he was super safe, super smooth, and sold his ass off. Just, I remember giving him a boot to the gut, and he sold it like he got, you know, hit with a cannonball, and it's like, wow, it's okay. I was like, wow, okay, it's this easy.
All right. All right. I know you have some other things you got to do. What is, one last question, what does the future look for you? What is your goal? What's the end game?
You know, the end game is to accomplish a lot that I didn't get a chance to accomplish.
Do you want another run with the WWE or say AEW?
Oh, I would, absolutely. I would, you know, all I ever wanted was to make a living, make a career off wrestling, and that be my career, my job. And I would love nothing. I have a great career outside of wrestling, but I would love nothing more than to bring this character to an NXT, to an AEW, to a Ring of Honor. I would love to do, I would love to be in, you know, an indie darling, be one of these indie, you know, kind of go the route of the MJFs and the Joey Janelas and all the guys that are getting signed right now. There's opportunity out there, and
I think you're definitely right there on the bubble right now. I would
think. Yeah, and I just think it's a matter of just grinding away and doing stuff at Beyond and getting out and doing the getting out eventually. Yeah, I'd love to do PWG. I'd love to go out and do AAW. And, you know, I've never been to Mexico. I would love to get to Mexico. I'd love to go, you know, overseas again. I never had a chance to work for Progress or WXW. I've been to Europe a lot of times, but, you know, I'd love to do those things. I'd love to follow and fill the shoes that have been left by so many of these top independent guys that are now with WWE or now with AEW and step up and in their place.
All right. Why don't you throw out your plugs and we'll let you go on with the rest of your day.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Retro Grappler. I'm most active on Twitter. I also have an Instagram at Retro Grappler. Not as active on there. I'll go on there occasionally, but usually Twitter is where you can find me. You can DM me on there. Also, I have a show. As we discussed, I'm a sports fan. I have a show on the Wrestling Observer site, which is Dave Meltzer and Brian Alvarez's site. It's at F4W Online or WrestlingObserver.com. It's called I Left My Wallet, like the Tribe Called Quest song. And I talk sports with other workers, other wrestlers. Recently had on Matt Taven. I got Barry Horowitz coming on, Kevin Kelly. So it's a hodgepodge of different people from the world of wrestling talking sports and some other off-kilter topics as well.
And where can we see you in the ring again?
September 12th, Thursday, Outlaw Wrestling, Brooklyn, New York. September 22nd, Westerly, Rhode Island, Beyond Wrestling. And then after that, October 1st, the second season of Uncharted Territory.
Can't wait.
Beyond Wrestling, yeah. Probably most Wednesdays there. And then October 12th. It's a doubleheader, Beyond Wrestling with Game Changer Wrestling in Asbury Park, New Jersey. Beyond Wrestling has a show at 2:30, and then at night it's Game Changer, so you can find me there. So
sounds
that's
good.
Where I will be, yes.
All right. Tom, I appreciate your time. It was a pleasure.
Thank you, Dennis. This was awesome. I appreciate it.
All right. You have a good day, sir.
All right.